Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, right after NeoCon, I had asked a friend of ours, Sharon Folliard, who is Vice President of Design and Development with Johnsonite, who spent a lot of time at the show, and so I'd asked her to be with us this morning and give us a little bit of a post-NeoCon overview. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It was a great show, and so I'm happy to share my thoughts and insights with your audience.
Okay, fantastic. So as you look back on this past week, let's talk about how did you think the attendance compared to previous years?
Well, I'll wait to hear the final attendance numbers, but I guess that attendance numbers would be a little bit down this year, and I think it was really driven more by the tornadoes that we had in Chicago leading up to the show. There were a lot of canceled flights, so even some of our people either didn't get in or had to rent cars to drive here instead of fly. So I'm going to guess that that's probably the single most important factor impacting attendance, even more than the economy. So I thought economy might be more of a factor, but we really didn't hear about it. We really heard more about the weather.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, we had two editors who had trouble that we were sending from Floor Focus to the show, and both of them had major issues on that Sunday getting there. So, you know, if it was off, it wasn't off by much. And so I agree with you. It's probably more weather-related than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As you look and think about some of the products that you saw, did you see any design trends that caught your attention?
Yes. Well, I went to the Best of NeoCon Awards. I think they call it Behind the Scenes with the Judges. It's an event where they bring the judges in and they talk about why they pick certain products as the award winners. And I always like to attend that. It's a nice snapshot of the trends from the show, and that Eileen McMorrow, who runs the awards competition that facilitates the sessions, does a really great job. So I saw a couple of different trends. The main one that I think I picked up on is this idea of flexibility. The best product in the overall competition was something from Herman Miller called Teneo, and it's a filing system. And the judges talked about how they love the modularity and that the function of the system could be changed in the field, you know, at the end user site. It addressed mobility. It could be personalized so that someone could formalize it if they were going to use it in an office, or they could make it more informal if they were going to use it working from home. So that same theme of flexibility, modularity, adaptability, that theme was repeated over and over from the judges when they then went on to discuss the other products. They talked about Hayworth and a gold award for flexibility for something they called Resonate, again, a filing system. Steelcase got a gold award for flexibility for a product called Seascape, which is a collaborative workspace. When you went to flooring, they mentioned a company called Performance Flooring. I have to admit that wasn't a company that I knew, but it's an access flooring product, and they really said it was outstanding, so it's something I'll have to pay more attention to. But this one tied that idea of flexibility, again, to the raised access flooring.
That's right. You know, for those, just to comment a minute on that,
sure.
You know, access flooring is the ability to come in with modular type of surface where you can, you know, put all your cabling and heating and air conditioning and everything underneath the floor, and anytime you move a workstation or kind of remodel the way you're set up, it's very easy to make a change. So again, that's along the lines of flexibility.
Right, and it really ties to sustainability. And so I've seen now with the green buildings that you can have individual air control. So you're not, I think they call it like right-sizing your system. You're not overheating or overcooling your building where some people are too hot, some people are too cold. When they put the air in the floor and you can have an individual control in your workspace, it allows more comfort and also, of course, allows less energy dollars. And so that trend, I think, has really impacted the increase I've seen in this need for access flooring. And we've been selling a lot more flooring ourselves that go onto that. But this idea of flexibility of flooring, I think, is not just about green buildings. It's any company that deals with churn or change. A lot of companies can tell you their churn or their change rate for how often they reconfigure their spaces. And the idea of any kind of flooring that can be reconfigured quickly and easily means less downtime for the employees and, of course, higher productivity if they're all still working. You know, and that's the whole concept behind carpet tile for years. That's why it's been so important. And at the show, I saw a nice example of what the judges were calling flexibility. The Suzanne Tick, I don't know if you know her, but she does a great job. She worked for Knoll for many years, and now she's been working for Tandis.
Right.
And she did this beautiful collection last year and again this year, combining the broad loom coordinated with the carpet tile in different scales, so there was aesthetic flexibility as well as that functional flexibility, so they could use whichever product they needed in a coordinated system, depending on the function of the area, and it allowed that flexibility. So I really picked up on that kind of trend, whether it was in the furniture or the filing systems or the flooring. It seemed like that was really appreciated by the judges.
You know, another comment about flexibility. I mean, just as it relates to flooring, this whole modular carpet continues to be very robust. And there are some estimates that it's now almost 30% of the the soft floor covering that goes in. So it's been taking share from broadloom, and almost everywhere we went at the show, if it was a manufacturer of carpet, with one or two minor exceptions, most of their emphasis was in the modular area. And I think Lee's won an award also down on the third floor. You talked about Tandis. Lee's won an award, I think a gold award for Faces, and let's see, I think it was Places. I can't remember the exact name, but anyway, it was they won a gold for the modular category, and a very impressive product. That's kind of one of the things too I noticed was that from a styling standpoint, looking across all the products, things were just a little muted, and I'm not sure if that was because the fact that we're still in a war, the fact that we've got a little bit of an uncertainty from an economic standpoint. Did you get a sense of that?
Well, that's pretty typical, I think, whenever the economy is uncertain, that people pull back a bit. You did see a lot of those neutrals. But then I also saw a lot of the brighter greens and some beautiful yellows and pink. And so there certainly was optimism, I think, reflected through those accents of bright colors.
Yeah. Well, let's shift just for a second. I know one of the things that you do, since your role at Johnsonite is you're the primary person that interacts with the design community. So you spent some time actually going to some seminars. And so why don't you give us kind of a rundown on what was going on if designers attended seminars, what were they exposed to?
Well, I always enjoy the seminars because it's my experience to get out and learn from the customers, in addition, of course, to the face-to-face visits. One of the themes that I heard over and over this time, different sessions throughout NeoCon, was this idea of integrated collaborative project delivery. And so that idea of working together as teams certainly is not new, but it was really a strong theme in a lot of the different sessions. One of the very first sessions on Monday was something called Operation Mindshift, and it was called A New Industry Model for Project Delivery. And I like to listen to this guy speak every year. He's Dean Strombone, I believe is his name, and he's one of the principals at Gensler. And Gensler does research, and I like to go in and hear what their latest research tells about the industry. So he spoke about this idea of the integrated alliance teams that improve quality and cost, delivering better return on investment. And the idea of a fixed price for a project, which of course is what they try to do, but with all the change orders and such, it never turns out to be a fixed price, and even offering warranties on the design of buildings. He talked about the idea of Toyota-style lean delivery process for the delivery process, again, of the construction of the building. And the idea of the mistrust premium is what he called it, and how the lack of trust in our industry doubles the cost of doing business. So much of this to me sounded like design build, and I actually intend to follow up with him after to find out how he really feels this differs. One of the ways that I think that it's new is the idea of BIM, and I know you and I have talked about BIM before, and that's
right.
The building information models. And so he referenced back to how BIM is going to be a big part of this integrated model, this integrated industry change. And he referenced three books that I wrote down so I could share them with you today. One of them is called The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. And I'm a Covey fan, but I have not read that book, so I'm going to have to go out and get it.
Yeah, he's the guy that was all about sharpening your saw, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Seeking First to Understand. So that's one of the things we try to do in our business, understanding our customers. The second book was Profitable Partnering for Lean Construction, and the author of that is Kane with a C. And then the third one was Refabricating Architecture. And I didn't catch the name of the author, but I know he referenced that the author was the AIA Architecture Firm of the Year. So it sounds like those three books he thought were the key ones to really understanding that trend. And then when I went to the sessions on evidence-based design, they also talked about that same theme, and that's healthcare, which were the interdisciplinary teams to maximize the outcomes. And there was a gal named Amy Keller, who is employed by the Center for Health Design, and she conducted one of the sessions I attended, and then Jane Rohde, who's affiliated with IIDA and AAHID and CHAIR and a number of groups. Jane is really a leading healthcare designer. She conducted another one of the evidence-based design sessions, and both Jane and Amy both talked about this idea of collaborative design as the first step for evidence-based design. So whether it was somebody from Gensler or it was these women talking about evidence-based design, they were all speaking about collaboration and this idea of the integrated approach impacting all the members of the team, certainly including flooring manufacturers and flooring contractors. So when they were talking about BIM, the speaker specifically mentioned BIM and the idea of being able to create prefabricated floors off-site. So the way I understand this is that this BIM allows you to be so precise in all the measurements of a building that you actually can take all the different components, you can fabricate many of them off-site and bring them to the building, and he talked about doing the floors that way. Whether it's an access floor or a different type of floor. So when we think about how will this impact our industry, that would be a huge difference than what we do today. It's certainly not our traditional model, but the idea of bringing the manufacturer and the contractor in earlier in the process certainly would be welcome and I think would really provide a better end space for that end user.
Well, you know, this digital world that we're moving into, it makes sense that this building information type of system, you know, would get legs and be you know even more of a factor. Let's talk a second about this evidence-based design in the healthcare sector. That's really where they do some research, I guess, over a period of time, and as they make changes in the way a healthcare facility uses different interior furnishings, they can actually, I guess, track whether or not a patient improves quicker. Isn't that kind of...
Yeah, so it could be something where they use evidence that was already existing, or it could be something where they create evidence from doing research within their facilities. Amy Keller, who I referenced earlier with the Center for Health Design, she defined it as the process of basing decisions for built environments on credible research to improve outcomes. So to me, that sounds like return on investment. It sounds to me like if the hospital is going to spend the money on a building, they first want to see the proof or the evidence regarding how that expenditure will positively impact things like patient health, as you mentioned. It could be impacting the operational performance of the facility or the staff and patient experience. So, of course, it's patient experience, but it's also the staff experience with nursing shortages and things like that. They also want to keep the staff happy. So there's now a process they call EDAC, which is the Evidence-Based Design Assessment and Certification. So they've actually created a process, and they're having a certification around that process. So how does that impact us? Well, as manufacturers, I think we're going to need to be able to speak lingo to understand what they're talking about, and we'll need to be able to give the proof. So, you know, for those of us that have the proof, we're in a great spot. If we don't, we may need to get it. And then as more of the proof or the evidence is generated from the studies that are underway now, we can incorporate some of that research into our new product design, future product design. So they talked about a number of studies that are happening right now. There's something they call the Global Health and Safety Initiative, GHSI, and that is the Center for Health Design in combination with Kaiser. And it's not quite done yet. It will be released soon. And this one sounded like it would be particularly interesting to the manufacturers. Part of that GHSI will be something they call the Pharos Project. And I think that she said it was www.pharosproject.net or .org. But that is going to review products, including flooring, and the data associated with those products. So I'm going to have to search for that one next week here after the show. Also, there's a group called CHER, C-H-E-R, and they do research projects specifically for healthcare. So that's what they do. They try to figure out which are going to be the projects that are going to be the most beneficial to the industry, you know, as change agents in the industry. And they had two projects that Jane Rohde referenced. One of them had to do with acoustics, and certainly flooring plays a big role in the acoustics. And so that is a study being done now. And there's another one that is on slip-fall, again, very directly related to flooring. And so that evidence will become available for all of us to be able to use as we design our products.
Well, I know the shift of this focus in what flooring is used in healthcare has been good for Johnsonite, because I think, I know, you know, the Charles sales in that sector have continued to be very strong. And so rubber is being picked, I guess, more frequently than in times past as they start to do some of the studies. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Well, thank you for saying that. We always like the extra attention or plug for rubber. But, yeah, actually, she did mention that for the acoustic studies that they've done so far, that the two main categories that best improved the acoustics were carpet, as you would imagine, and rubber. You know, and acoustics now relates to things like HIPAA, you know, with the speech privacy. But she was talking about how acoustics is so important now for the patients to sleep, and how, you know, obviously if you're not sleeping well, you're not healing. So they're doing a whole study all around that right now. So I would suspect that rubber will fare well there. It's also great on the maintenance side, you know. So I think that all of these things will probably prove out, these studies will prove out some of the things that we already know or have intuition, but now we'll get the evidence.
All right. Well, so just in quick summary, if you think about past seminar, you know, itineraries in years past, was this one as good as in years past?
Yeah, I thought it was great, and I learned a lot, and I made nice connections, and I thought there was a really positive energy. You know, I went into it thinking more about, what will we hear about the economy, and that really was not something that I heard about it at all, other than people asking each other what they were hearing. You know, it really was not about that. It was all really very positive energy and people with a positive outlook.
Well, it's no surprise to me that Johnsonite continues to have excellent growth because of the focus you guys put in your efforts, which is, you know, studying what the design community is tuned into and making sure you know how to, you know, talk to them about what's of interest to them.
Thank you. And we try to think about how what we do helps impact the productivity of the building. And so that's a great story for the designer, because that's what they're trying to do for the end user. And it's very impactful at the end user level as well, that they like to know, again, about that evidence or that proof. How are you going to help them with the productivity of their buildings? And so, so far, so good. We'll hope to continue to have that success. Thank you for the nice compliment.
Sure, Sharon. I got one more thing I want to say is that your all's booth on the 8th floor this year was a new design and very impressive. It was very three-dimensional and colorful. So who actually helped you guys with that booth?
There's a great firm here in Chicago called Design Collaborative, Tom Marquardt. And actually, Jamie, who works there, did a lot of the work on the booth. And Tom called it lenticular. And so I had to go say, Tom, tell me, what does that mean, lenticular? I didn't really understand. But the idea of the linear, you'll see everything was very linear.
Yeah.
But the images were split in such a way that you caught different pictures from different angles. So it was very three-dimensional and conceptual. So it wasn't as much a booth about product, per se. We did have a couple of new product introductions. The Accent Wood, which is a wood sheet in a resilient floor, and then an LVT in a wood. But really what we are doing was talking about the concept of how color can impact the space. So how can color motivate, make people safe, and make them more productive? And how can our unique color capabilities impact that customer space design? So the whole booth was really more concept than it was product. And so that lenticular design lended well to the concept.
Yeah, well, it was impressive, definitely.
Thank you.
An eye catcher. And so, Sharon, I really appreciate you spending time with us and giving us an overview of Neocon this week. And I understand that you've got ticket in hand, getting ready to head off to France, because as many know, Johnsonite is a division of Tarkett, which has got operations over there. So I know you're busy, and thanks for spending time with us. We've been listening to Sharon Folliard, who's vice president at Johnsonite, and this is FloorDaily.net.